Good morning. My name is Mandy McLaughlin, and I'm here to represent the International Mission Board, which is the international mission sending agency through the Southern Baptist Convention. And I would like to pray and ask God to bless our time before we get started. Would someone like to open? I would love to pray, but if someone would like to bring us before the Lord, you can go ahead and volunteer. Okay. Oh. Good morning, Father. Lord, I thank you for this time that you've given us together. I thank you for each one of the hearts that you've brought here, for each one of the minds that you've brought here, and each one of the souls that you've brought here, Father. Lord, I thank you for the secret things that you're doing in our hearts, Lord, the public things that you're doing in our lives. And Lord, I ask that you'll be honored and glorified, Lord, that your truth will be spoken here in this room and in this building today. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and shut that back door. Hopefully it'll maybe contain my voice a little bit better. Hey. Maybe I'm not going to. Or maybe I'm not going to. I'll just leave it open. I would like to tell you my story of how I became a journeyman through the International Mission Board, and I'll explain in a little bit what a journeyman is. I'm not going to assume that you all know what a journeyman does and what the responsibilities are and the requirements and all that, because I had no clue, even when I was in college, what a journeyman was. But again, my name is Mandy. I was born and raised in Ohio, and I was not raised in a Southern Baptist church. So I didn't understand, I still don't completely understand the ins and outs of the convention and all the famous people and the infamous people and all those wonderful things. But I've had a really good experience with the International Mission Board. Growing up, my father was a deacon in the church, and we had missionaries in my home all the time. They slept at my home, they ate at my home, they planned at my home, and I hated it. I hated having international missionaries at my home. I was a very introverted person. I hated the idea of leaving my home. I mean, to go out shopping, whatever, that was fine. But the thought of going to another state, let alone another country, was a big concern of mine. And I'm not saying that this is the way that the sermons or the messages were meant to be presented to me at my church. But this is a filter through which I received a lot of the information about international missions. I received it through a filter of guilt. And so as I was growing up, I felt very guilty that I was not interested in being an international missionary. And I would just try not to think about it a whole lot. You know, sometimes I feel like if I hold really still, I'm not going to be bothered by something, or if I just don't move, something's not going to bother me. Like when I was a little kid and I was laying in bed and I thought there was a monster or something in my closet, I thought if I just lay really still, it won't see me. And so I tried to stay under the radar of God's calling on my life as a missionary. And so the missionaries would come and I would be all happy that they were at my house. You know, I was a good pretender. And then my motives changed a bit once I got older, because I discovered it was fun to travel. And I thought, well, yeah, traveling's great. I got a little bit away from home. And I got into college. I went to a private Christian college. And a lot of the people around me went on short-term mission trips. They'd go on two-week trips over Christmas break. They'd go on six-week trips over summer break. They'd go over spring break. And it was just this huge thing. I mean, they'd parade them across stage, and they all give their testimony and talk about all of their opportunities that they had in whatever country they were in. And I'm not saying at all that this was their motive. So I'm sure a ton of you have gone on short-term mission trips while you've been in college. But if I would have gone on a short-term mission trip when I was in college, my motive would have been to kind of check off something on the list of things I felt like I should do as a college student at that school, kind of in my Christian community. And I refused for that to be my motive. I'm not saying that was good. I'm not saying that's a good motivation or that I was honorable or anything in that. I'm sure I missed out on an opportunity for God to use me in another country. He didn't need me. I'm sure he found somebody else to do what I could have done. And I also missed out on an opportunity for him to work in my life and to teach me something. So yeah, when I was in college, didn't do anything international. I think I went to Canada one time for a Shakespeare festival, but that was like the closest thing I came to. I was often involved in inner city ministries when I was in college, so I was reaching out into the community, sharing God's love with people. But my senior year of college, I heard about a short term, like a 3-week trip that my pastor was planning to the Ukraine. And it was at Christmas, I think, and he was going the next autumn. And right then and there, I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that I was going to be on that trip. I didn't know how I was going to be on that trip. I think it was over $1,000 to get there. But I didn't tell anybody I was going. I told my pastor. I was like, hey, I think I want to go on this trip. And I told my parents, and I think I told my best friend. But I decided that this was my time to really examine my motives. Like, why in the world did I want to go on this trip? And also to examine why God was asking me to go on this trip, why he was presenting this option to me or presenting this desire that he had for my life. So I went on the trip. Really, nobody knew I was going. I think I sent some emails out to kind of shock some people once I was there, like, hey, I'm in the Ukraine. But and the trip turned my life upside down. And this is just, I want to get a feel for this group. How many of you have been outside the U.S., the continental U.S.? Okay, so most of you. Okay, that's cool. I had never been outside the continental U.S., except for Canada, of course, until after I graduated from college. And so you guys have probably experienced what I experienced. I learned that being a missionary wasn't being sad for Jesus in another country and wearing the old clothes of the people at First Baptist Church on the corner of Main Street and First in my hometown, living in a mud hut. It just meant being Jesus to the people around me. And it turned my world upside down. Like, and I came home and I was like, I want to do international missions. I want to go. I want to go right now. But then I realized that I had student loans. And this is something that different people have different opinions on, but I felt a large responsibility to pay a large portion of my student loans off before I could freely go to the mission field. So I worked for a couple years, 2.5 years after I graduated from college, and I paid off a huge chunk of my loans, my student loans, and I applied to the International Mission Board for the Journeyman Program. I was accepted, and this is probably the information that is really important to you right now, just to give you a practical step-by-step walkthrough of what it takes to be a journeyman. And I'm just assuming that because this seminar is called Options After College, that you guys are interested in the journeyman program or something similar to the journeyman program, so that's why I'm going to share this with you. And I want this to be a discussion also. Like, if you have questions while I'm talking, please raise your hand and we'll chat about it. Whatever questions you have, this is my opinion. There's no question that's too deep and there's no question that's too shallow or too silly, because I had some really silly questions before I went overseas. And I had some really silly questions about the journeyman program, because there's a lot of rumors that go around about the whole deal. And I just want to make it as understandable as possible for you guys. I applied to the journeyman program. I sent in, there's an initial application that's like maybe 2 pages long. You just kind of give them your basic information so they can contact you. You can do that online now. It wasn't available online when I did it. And they will contact you and they'll send you like a 10-page packet of things that you need to fill out. A lot of questions that they ask you about your life, and there's also a requirement of a 9 to 10 page autobiography, and they have certain requirements that they ask you to address in that 10-page autobiography. And this is just so that they can get to know you better. I feel like they know everything about me now. They also have a reference form that they ask that you give to 5 or 10 different people in your life. And then there's 5 slots, I think, at the bottom of each of those forms that they ask those people to put 5 more names. And they also contact those people. Because for me, I gave them a list of people that I knew saw me in a good light. And, I mean, that's just what I naturally do when I want recommendations, right? You know, you give it to the people who like you. And so they ask those people for 5 other people who are associated with you. So the IMB does a really good job at researching their candidates. I was accepted into the journeyman program. This was, okay, I sent my final application in January. I was accepted by March, and then the IMB flew me to Virginia, where the Missionary Learning Center is, and they housed me for 3 days, where representatives from each region of the world that the IMB has organized come to this conference. It happens like 5 or 6 times a year, and I interviewed with all these people. I sat down. The requests, the jobs that journeymen fill are based on requests that missionaries from all over the world send to the IMB headquarters. So you choose as a journeyman where you would like to go based on your interest in culture, based on your experiences. And so for 3 days, I walked around and talked with all these people. And I broke it down to 2 jobs. One was a trailblazing job in China. I used to ask God not to send me to China, so I thought that was really funny. I would say, okay, God, I'll be a missionary, but please don't send me to China. And I don't know why China was at the top of my list of places I didn't want to go, but it just seemed like, I remember when I was a little girl and I was digging a hole in the backyard, and people would say, don't dig too deep, you'll dig to China. I thought, well, that has to be the farthest place that you can possibly go from home, so I don't want to go there. So here I was choosing between this trailblazing job in China that sounded so cool. I would have been in a little port city in the northeast portion of China where I would have mapped out the city. I would have studied the culture to kind of blaze a trail for someone, for people to come behind me and really do the evangelical work that needed to be done there. And then there was this other job in India, where I would have been a photographer for the South Asia region. And I thought, the whole China thing played into it, the fact that I used to ask God not to send me to China, because I used to have missionaries come to my home, and they'd be like, yeah, I used to ask God not to send me here, but look where I ended up. And it was like this funny, ironic story they had. And I thought, well, maybe God's going to be funny and ironic with me here, too. But I looked at the photography job, and I thought, I'm being selfish, and I'm totally using the IMB to get this really cool experience. I'm manipulating the system, and I'm abusing my position as a journeyman by wanting to be a photographer, and I need to deny all my earthly desires and go blaze a trail in China. But then God reminded me that He created me a certain way. He created me with a passion for photography, and this was not an audible voice. I'm not saying that, but I knew it was from God. He said, run with it. Take this photography and run with it. And I never thought that I could experience such joy and such freedom as a missionary. I think I mentioned this before. I used to think being a missionary meant being sad for Jesus in another country. But like what I experienced was freedom and joy and just, I don't know, it was unbelievable. And I've got my Bible here. I want to get it just right. Psalm 37, chapter 7, 37, verses 4 through 6, I think is the passage. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him. He will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, and the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. And for once in my life, in a big decision, God's desire was my desire. Like, I was delighting in Him. And it wasn't like I saw this thing that I didn't want to do and thought, oh, I need to do that because I can't be happy. I can't be selfish, but like this was what God had for me, and I was able to delight in Him. And I never thought that I would say being an international missionary was a dream come true. But the last 2 years, I lived in India. I didn't say this, but I chose the photography job, and I lived in India for 2 years, and I traveled around Pakistan, Nepal, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, the Maldives, and all over India as a photographer. And it was a dream come true. I just returned in July, and now I've been traveling around the U.S. as a what we call a stateside mobilizer for the International Mission Board, coming to conferences like this. And I just wanted to share my story with you and to let you know that God has placed talents and passions in your life for a reason. And just to find joy in that, to find freedom in that, that you can honor Him with those dreams that He's given you, even as an international missionary. Another aspect of my time in India was that when I was in India, I discovered that in my hometown, when I wasn't traveling, I wasn't making friends very quickly because of my limited amount of time in my city. And I also discovered that the only people that really wanted to be my friends were guys, which Daniel can attest to this. It doesn't really go along with the culture all the way for girls to hang out with guys all the time. And so I wanted to honor the way that the culture is in India and to spend my time with the girls that were in my city. And so I was trying to figure out how I could do this, how I could make friends, be with people on a consistent basis, even though I was traveling so much. And so as a good Southern Baptist, I decided to study dance. And I met my hairdresser who introduced me to my tailor who became a good friend of mine. So I thought, well, I'll just ask my tailor if she suggests a good dance studio. I didn't even know about the different dances in India. I just knew there were some different classical dances that I could study. And so she said, oh, you must study at the Natya Institute of Kathak and Choreography. So I went to this dance studio, and for a year I studied an Indian classical dance. And I mention this because it amazed me how God used things in my past while I was on the mission field that I never thought would come out. The fact that I was a cheerleader in high school, which I'm not extremely proud of, but like, it was fun. Let's put it that way. I had a good experience with cheerleading. But it's not something that I thought would come in handy later on in life. Like, I learned how to count to eight over and over again. I learned how to jump really high. But other than that, I thought, well, what good is this cheerleading thing? I can get really excited about insignificant things. But I walked into this dance studio, and I was comfortable there. I was comfortable with this group of girls. There were some guys who studied the dance at this dance studio, but mostly girls. I was comfortable in this culture because I had experience as a cheerleader in this culture of girls and learning dance steps. And so God used cheerleading on the mission field because I got to stay, I got to hang out at this dance studio. I got to meet these girls who were mostly Hindu. I think there was one Muslim girl who studied at this dance studio. But I got to hang out with all these girls. The same girls were there every time I went back. And it was amazing. This dance studio taught me whatever I needed to learn based on what I had learned the previous time I was there. So if I had been gone a whole month, they would still teach me based on what I had learned the previous month. And that's just how they did it with all their students. So it was absolutely perfect. I mean, it was just an answer to prayer. And when I say answer to prayer, I mean, I got what I wanted. I don't know. I mean, God always answers my prayers, but this time, again, what I wanted was what God wanted. And I was able to meet these girls, hang out with them. I was able to learn more about their culture, and I was able to get some exercise. It was perfect. It was amazing. So, again, like, as a journeyman, I committed to be a photographer. That was the job request that I filled. And I always encourage everybody, yes, fill the job request that you have chosen, but find ways to jump into your culture. Find a way to study a dance form. Find a way to study a musical instrument. I know a girl up in Nepal who is studying the tabla. It's a type of drum instrument in South Asia. I know people who are studying different kinds of, like, singing, different art forms, but just find a way to just dive into the culture that you go into. It helps you understand that culture better by learning something that is part of them, but it also shows them that you love them, that you love their culture, because you're taking time to learn about them, learn about something that's important to them, and to do it with excellence. Like, if I would have gone into that studio and would not have known how to show them respect, would not have tried my best, they would have completely discounted who I was. And I knew that I was there to represent God. the Most High God. They worshipped all. They worshipped primarily. They worshipped Ganesh, which is I don't know if you know anything about Hinduism, but he is the god who is represented by the form of an elephant. So they would do a ceremony at the beginning of class and at the end of class to open and close their practicing. And I chose that time to pray to the Most High God, to our Lord Jesus Christ, and to ask him to be present in that studio, because I knew that he wasn't going to be represented unless I was there at that point in time, because there were no other Christians who danced there. So, yeah, it's amazing how God can use you on the mission field and what fun it is. Now, I'm not saying that there weren't nights that I didn't cry myself to sleep. It's not always peaches and cream. There weren't times that I had completely isolated myself, not necessarily socially, but spiritually or mentally. But, yeah, the Journeyman program is an amazing thing. As a journeyman, maybe I'll answer some questions for you with this information. Everything was provided for me in that at the job choosing conference where I chose to be a photographer, they flew me there and flew me home. They housed me. They fed me. Before I went to India, for 2 months, I went back to that learning center, and they flew me there. Well, actually, I drove there, but they reimbursed me for mileage. And they fed me and housed me for those 2 months. I was... all of my immunizations were provided for me. I got 12 shots within 3 months. And I think the International Mission Board gives out the second largest number of immunizations next to the U.S. Army. I think that's what I heard. It's crazy. I remember, like, every Friday was shot day. And, like, there'd be a nurse on this side and a nurse on this side, and they'd count to three, and they'd give me a shot. And I'm just like, and I would go back to my room, and I'm just thinking about these diseases that are roaming around in my body, and like, built in, like, I'm like, I can't get away from them. But it was wonderful, because immunizations are expensive. My visa to India was provided for me, and with a tourist visa to India, for example, you must leave the country every 6 months to renew the visa. The IMB provided the transportation and the housing for me to do that. As a photographer, they provided all of my film and the processing of my film. As a journeyman, they provided an apartment for me. They provided pots and pans. They provided furniture. They provided my transportation. I had 100% medical insurance. I was on salary. I'm not saying I was a rich girl, but I made enough money to pay for my food and for my utilities at my flat and for clothing. They provide funds in your budget for language learning. Language is an important thing to the IMB. I was a little different as a journeyman or as a photographer because I traveled to like 6 different countries, and there are, I think, Daniel, 16 official languages in India. Is that right? I think so, yeah. So I studied Hindi, which is the national language of India, but I moved down south, and there's like 7 official languages in the city I lived in, so I really wasn't able to become conversational in Hindi. But most journeymen are given one language based on their people group that they go to work with, and they learn that language, and they're given money to pay for a tutor to learn that language, or if you have some kind of booklet or computer program you need, if there's no one to teach you, they will provide that for you. Not only do they provide for you financially, but they teach you, because you don't have to raise money, they teach you how to organize a really good prayer support network so that you are bathed in prayer while you are a journeyman, which is so important. And to be able, if there's one request that you need people to pray for immediately, that you can send an email to somebody, and within minutes, hundreds of people know that they need to pray for you. They also provide for you spiritually, and spiritually I don't mean like they make you a better Christian, you know, but I mean they have counselors that are available for you all the time. They're called member care, and there's generally one or two couples within each region who just travel around and check on you. And I knew that this couple, their names are Jim and Trudy, that they would be in my city about every 4 or 5 months, and they'd take me out to breakfast, ask me how I was doing. And I knew that if I needed them, like if there was something that I needed to talk to them about, I could call them anytime, day or night, And if I really needed to, they would fly me or put me on a train or a bus to where they were, or they would come to me. So there are many aspects of the way that the International Mission Board provides for their workers. I had a good experience. I had a wonderful experience with the IMB. I can't complain. It was a dream come true. And I would like to see if you have any questions, because when I share this information, there's always little things I leave out that have kind of gone over my head and I forgot about the last session. But what kind of questions do you have? Oh, here's one that you might be thinking about. Have you heard that journeymen are not allowed to date? Has anyone? Okay, no one's ever heard that? Okay. As a journeyman, I was not allowed to date on the field. Sometimes there are exceptions to the rules. I guess rules are made to be broken, some people say. But it depends on what region you are in. But the official rule for the journeyman program is that you're not allowed to date. So for 2 years, I held to that. I was a journeyman, and that's what I did. And I had guys that were friends, but I didn't pursue, and the guys didn't pursue a relationship with me. Maybe that's because they didn't find me attractive, or I wasn't, whatever. But that's fine, you know, but you gotta have your excuses. I wasn't allowed to date. So, anyway, yeah. So, you can't help it. Some journeymen do fall in love, and the IMB acknowledges that people fall in love and they have appropriate steps that they take. They don't always get to finish out their journeyman term, but, we have hearts, right? So, it's okay. Yeah, so that's one question that people often ask me about. That is a rule. I'm trying to think about any other things. The journeyman program is a 2-year program. It used to be an option for a 1-year program, but now it's a minimum of 2 years. You can extend to 3 years if you wish. And one of the girls up here, I forget who it was, but was saying, I haven't graduated yet, but the journeyman program is for college graduates, so, you know, what good is this for me right now? It's good to plan ahead. And I'm sure that's why she's here, whoever that was. You know, she's planning ahead. But also, if you have friends who are not college graduates, or who maybe later on you find out they're, you meet somebody who hasn't gone to college, there's a program called the International Service Corps that is almost identical to the journeyman program. I really don't know why there's a difference between the two, except for tradition. The Southern Baptists like the journeyman program. And I think they took it away a while ago, and people complained, so they brought it back. But the ISD program is almost identical, and it's for people who have not graduated from college, or for families, because the journeyman program is for people who are single, have never been married, and have never had children. The ISD program is for people who are married, who have not graduated from college, or who have not gone to college, or for people who are divorced. So there's options for everybody. And just to kind of, I like to hear about this aspect of the IMB. There's a program called the Master's Program, which is for people who are over 50. And it's like the Journeyman Program, but it's for like people who have retired and maybe they wanted to be a missionary when they were our age, but they didn't do it. Or maybe they just got this new idea that they wanted to be missionaries. And it's really cool to see these couples that are over 50 or these single people who are over 50 coming out to the mission field and doing their thing. And it's just, it's a wonderful balance to have all these different ages in the field. That's just a little side note for you. Okay, so I said I was going to open up for questions. Ask me questions. Are you picking your tooth? Okay. No, I understand what you're saying. I didn't go through somebody else to get hired. I went to the job conference where all journeyman applicants go. And there are jobs that range, and this is a good point where I can list some of the jobs that are on the books right now. They hired me as a photographer. I had heard rumors that there were sometimes photography positions open through the journeyman program, and so that's what I went to the conference looking for. And I found one. There's not always one, but here's a list of jobs that are on the books right now. Web media designer, regional office accounting. These are for journeymen. Regional office accounting, nurse or hospital worker, writer or organizer, student worker, student evangelist. Let's see. Media communication specialist, ESL teacher, homeschool teacher, bookkeeper, national language speaker trainer, trailblazer, that's one I was going to do in China, River City church planner. Sometimes they get these really creative names, that assistant camel trainer. And this is one of those fun, those creative names. I'm pretty sure they don't really train camels. We have this book that is based on a man in Bangladesh who was a Muslim who came to Christ as a result of a passage in the Quran that talks about Jesus, and it's a prophecy about how he's the Messiah and all these things, how he'd be born of a virgin. And the reason it's called camel, I forget to explain this sometimes, is that the Muslims believe that there are 100 names for God, and that the camel knows, no, that we know 99 of those names, and that the camel knows the 100th name. And so we believe that that 100th name that the camel knows is Jesus. So that's why we call it the camel method. It's a way to reach Muslims, starting off in their Quran, acknowledging their culture, and then immediately going into the Bible. So we call it the camel method. So a camel trainer is someone who trains somebody in that method. They train groups of people in that local area so that when we leave, they can continue training people. Let's see. I know I'm not seeing any here, but I know that they're... tsunami relief worker. We do relief work also. Some people have that question. We've got tsunami relief going on in Sri Lanka and India. And we have earthquake work going on in Pakistan and Srinagar, India right now. Okay, so I've given you, data system developer. I'm just trying to find some other interesting ones. I know that we have a lot of options for people who like to... a lot of people who like to do backpacking. So we've got a lot of areas in Nepal, in Pakistan, in India. I mean, all over the world. I mean, I talk about South Asia because that's where I was. We do have people in other areas of the world. I know there's a group of people called the Extreme Team who go into, like, the Amazon jungle, into crazy places in China who just do extreme things to reach people in remote areas. And they used to only allow guys to be on the extreme team, which was the case when I was applying to the journeyman program. So it wasn't even an option for me to be on the extreme team. Now they are very carefully allowing girls to be on the extreme team. And they're looking at them very carefully to see if they can do it. But yeah, I mean, there's options for people in any field, in any interest. And if you go to the IMB.org and you search for jobs in a certain area of the world based on what you want to do and you don't find something, please don't be discouraged because, one, it might not be up there because of security reasons. We may not be allowed to post it because it would be dangerous for our workers in that country. Or we just don't want the world to be looking at what we're doing in that area of the world. Or maybe we just haven't come up with it yet, and we need you to say, "Hey, I'm really good at this. I'm a hairdresser, and I would like to use my skill as a hairdresser in another country. Is there a need? Can you think of some place where I can do this?" And we have people at the IMB headquarters who can contact missionaries in the world and find out if there's an option for you. We love creativity. We love helping you be who God has meant you to be. And if that means being a hairdresser in Iraq, then maybe that would be it. So any other questions? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Woman that disciples me at home was part of the master's program.
Okay.
She and her husband were in Hungary, and we've been talking about going
I don't think I have a good answer for you on that question. I know that some people do their student teaching as a volunteer or as part of their journeyman term. But I think I would suggest calling the IMB, and I can direct you specifically to maybe the person you should talk to, so we can chat later. That's a really good question. Okay.
My plan right now is I would have a job overseas, basically with oil and gas.
Okay.
And so I kind of want to be part of the, you know, IMB. So do you have people like that who just kind of...
Like a lay person who's working, and there are many countries that we can't get into unless we have a reason to be there. We call it a platform, and I can't guarantee you, guarantee this for you, but if I've not seen anything with oil and gas on the books, but if you were to call in I might be able to do a little research for you to find out who you should talk to about that, but. Whoever needs something.
I'd probably be like 30 days on, 30 days off. I'd be half the entire month that's free.
Okay.
So, things like that. So.
Okay. Let's talk afterwards. I'm trying to figure out 30 days. You mean you have a job in oil and gas and...
I've worked 30 days and then I'd be off.
Is that how the oil and gas industry works? Okay. All right. All right. Cool. I was in a city that was the headquarters for my region. So I was a little unique in that there were probably 30 people in my city from the IMB. Some journeymen will go to a city where there are no IMB workers. But what's important to the journeyman program is that we don't send people out alone. So you would not be sent by yourself. You would have a partner. There are some individuals who just need to go by themselves. Maybe they're just very good on their own, but it's from what I understand, it's a priority for the journeyman leaders to send people in partners. And also with the accountability issue, someone over here was asking about that. I can't remember who. I think you were asking about accountability. I had a supervisor. My supervisor had a supervisor. I am still expected because I still have a supervisor. I'm still technically a journeyman. I report to my supervisor at least once a month. I send in a report of what I've done, of what I plan to do. So they don't just throw you into your job and say, hey, do it. I mean, they expect you to have a strategy, to have a plan of how you're going to do your thing. And generally, with your partner, you will write your strategy together. And, so you're not going to be alone as a journeyman. It's very important that you're not. Okay.
Are there any other necessary criteria that maybe we haven't asked you, like being a member of a church?
That's a good question. The IMB asks that you be a member of a Southern Baptist church for at least 2 years, an active member of a Southern Baptist church. And there's a requirement for debt. So whatever loans you have, they require that for journeymen, that you have $75 or less of a monthly loan payment. Those are the two that affected me. I don't think there are any other ones that, or at least those are the two that affect a lot of people that I ask about, that people ask about a lot, is the debt and then belonging to a Southern Baptist church. So I don't think I had been a member of my Southern Baptist church for long enough time, but I had been a real active member of my church, my Southern Baptist church, for like 5 years because I was a student. I hadn't changed my membership, but because of the testimony of the people at my church, the IMB understood that I might as well have been a member. So it's just, it took some explaining, but it worked. Yeah. No, go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
India would be totally different from Ukraine. For example, Well, there's a base pay. All journeymen get a base pay. And then you get an additional pay on top of that based on what country you live in. And it's and that additional pay is based on the capital city of that country, whatever the standard of living in that capital city is. Yes, ma'am. Okay.
That isn't Southern Baptist where they count that, or because, I mean, I was really active in the church, but since I'm in a different city, I'm obviously going somewhere else that isn't Southern Baptist, so.
Okay. I can't give you a guaranteed answer on that, but I think you're going to be okay. But I would, if I were you, I would call the International Mission Board and check with them, because I'm not the one that approves and disapproves, but I think you're going to be okay. Yes, ma'am? So if you work, you mean if you're working for a different company?
Yeah, if you're just working for, you know, a petroleum company,
uh-huh.
IBM or whoever, and they send you overseas, if you'd like to be a part of the team.
As a journeyman, you have to go through training. So I'm not sure how it would work if you, I know some people have gone through, like I know some guy that went through Tyson Chicken into a country, so I know there's things that happen like that with, like, for example, a petroleum company. But you are required to go through the two-month training where, for example, during my two-month training, I had a group of people, and we met as a house church just to learn what it's like to meet in a house church because that's what a lot of people do on the field. I learned a lot of different things about the culture of South Asia. That was that's where I was heading. A lot of bridges and barriers to sharing the truth about Christ with those people. A lot of ways to adapt to a culture. How to have low expectations. I had really low expectations. And I don't know why, but I loved living in India. I mean, it's my second home. I love that place. But yeah, they always tell us wherever we're going, and it's not just going to South Asia, but whatever country we were going to, they said low expectations, have low expectations. They reminded us that things are not always fair. As a journeyman, you may not get the same benefits, and I don't mean financially, but you may not get the same attention, you may not get the same, I don't know how to explain this, but things are not always fair as a journeyman, but I had to remind myself of that.
Kind of based on
that question, are there any other options besides like the journeyman program for college? There's the career program. You got your ISC, International Service Corps, and journeyman, which are very similar. And then there's the career program. That's a good question. The career program requires that you have, I think, at least 20 hours of seminary education, and there's an apprentice program that everybody goes through before they actually are considered career. The apprentice program is a three-year program where you are not discipled, where you are trained. Someone say trained? Where you are trained by a career missionary, so you learn what it's like to be a career missionary. And those 3 years as an apprentice, you are really focusing on your target people group. A lot of language learning during your apprenticeship, a lot of cultural training during your apprenticeship. So, yeah, there is another option other than journeyman program if you would like to go career. And career spans from like 3 years to 40 years. I mean, there are different levels of whatever you have decided to commit to. No, there aren't, because the journeyman program is so flexible, and the career program is so flexible.
It, if
you were working for another company, I haven't heard a lot of people who are working for other companies going as journeymen. Generally, they will quit their job and do what they were doing, but as a journeyman. So I don't want to give the impression that often people will go as an employee of another company. That's it. Those are unique situations. But I'm not saying it's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't understand the second half of your question.
I guess are journeyman's jobs surely based on helping to fill missionaries' needs, like to fill the need for a web media designer, or is it more like missionaries
looking in the yellow pages?
Oh, no, no, no. It's all based on what the career missionary, what their strategy is. So if they have decided that they're going to reach 10 people groups in South India within the next 10 years, they know that they're going to need a certain number of people to work with them. And they've developed a strategy like, well, we know this about this people group, so we need someone to go in and do this. So it's all based on what that missionary needs. They're not just coming up with things to come up with things.
But they're not looking for jobs in an area to try to help people get into the country. So in the Middle East, they wouldn't look for jobs and then publish that on your website?
Not generally. We generally would create a job, I think. For example, I think I mentioned hairdresser. I know of a job request where I don't know if this girl worked in an established salon or if they built a salon. I'm not sure how it worked, but like that was a layperson job. But I don't think they looked in the yellow pages for the job. I think they created it themselves. When I say job request, it's not like, it's anything. It's anything that the missionaries need. It's a strategy coordinator. It's an evangelist, or it's a hairdresser, or it's a web designer. I mean, a job doesn't mean just something that we would consider a job in the U.S. A job is just any request that the missionaries need. If it's someone who they need to work in the office at their regional headquarters, then that's the job request. If it's someone they need a homeschool teacher, then that's a job request. It's not necessarily something in the public sector.
Did you end up learning how to
become a fluent? No, I didn't. I wanted to. That was my goal. But I traveled a lot, and there are a lot of languages in India. There's not just one. So I wasn't able to. I was able to learn enough to make people happy. To kind of show them that I had some interest in their culture. But there's also a lot of English spoken in India, which made it difficult for me to learn the language. But it wasn't practical for me to. But many journeymen will become conversational in the language of their people group.
Do they recommend, another language to go into a place?
Sometimes they do and sometimes they don't. A friend of mine is fluent in Spanish, but she went and worked in Calcutta, India. And this was not her job request, but she was able to help Spanish-speaking missionaries in India, too. Like, she worked with them because there were people from Mexico who went to be missionaries in Calcutta, and so they partnered she partnered with those people. So, yeah, not necessarily. If you're fluent in French, we won't necessarily send you to a French-speaking country, but it makes sense to me if you would. No, don't be sorry. I pretty much took like two pairs of jeans and a couple t-shirts because, yeah, my American wardrobe wasn't extremely appropriate in India. In the big cities, it was. Like I probably could have worn this in my home city. This shirt might be a little bit, I don't know, I think I would have worn maybe a shirt not this small, but like when I would hang out with my middle class Muslim friends, I would wear the very traditional clothing. Like, there's a outfit in India called Salwar Kameez, and it's these large baggy pants and a long shirt that comes down to about here. It's got a slit up the side, and generally there's sleeves and a scarf that's called a dupatta, and it's like you wear it over your head and over your shoulder, or you wear it over your shoulders like this. And it's a modesty issue and just honoring the culture. I had to buy pretty much a whole new wardrobe, but it wasn't very expensive. And it was kind of fun, actually, because it wasn't so expensive. There's expensive clothes in India, don't get me wrong. They've got some great clothing designers there, and there's an upper class of Indians that have more expensive tastes than I would ever think of. And so there are options for really nice clothes and really expensive clothes, but I could buy pretty cheap clothes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have a friend who was a physical trainer in Pune, India. Again, I'm sorry, I'm just talking about South Asia. I'm really one-track minded here, and it's really the base of my knowledge. And I know of these were both trainers. One was in Bangladesh, and one was in Pune, India. There are medical options. I think we've pretty much gotten rid of all of our hospitals. So it would not be a hospital that was owned by the IMB. But it would be an option for you to go into a city, and it's a reason for you to be there. But really, your main target is to meet other girls in that city and to disciple, like to lead them to Christ and to disciple them. So it's a way to get you into that city. Yeah. Oh, okay. Uh-huh. Okay, so you know more about the medical information than I do. I know that we still have some influence on the hospital in Bangalore, India, but we don't own it anymore. But yeah, thanks for that input. I appreciate that. Do you have any other, nothing else? That's great that you offer that information.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
And they don't send people so much as plug people that have a desire and a vision in with the organization like the IMB there's just a whole slew of mission organizations that they help pair you with the one that wants to get into our ministries.
Okay. So that's an option for people who are interested in medical teams. Okay. Thank you for that input. Appreciate it. For me, I extended my journeyman term by 6 months to be a mobilizer, and that's not a common thing. Like, it happens every once in a while, but most journeymen will come home, and the IMB provides 2 months of salary and 2 months of health insurance, and then after that, they expect that you just have found something else to do. Right now, I don't live anywhere because I travel so much, and they would not provide an apartment for me here in the States. Like, I would live with somebody. I would live with a friend or something. I would pay rent. Yeah, so here in the States, it's not provided for me. But I'm an exception. I've been an exception to the rule quite often through this whole process. So I'm trying to give you a straight answer on most of the things. And that's my phone, which means we're out of time. I set my alarm. We have 5 minutes, actually. So I didn't want to keep you over. I hate when that happens. So I hope that I've been able to give you some good information. The Journeyman Program is a great thing, and it's a good way to get a taste of what it's like to be a missionary for more than a couple weeks. I know those couple weeks are essential to give you a taste to go even longer. So I don't want you to think that I'm all about finding joy for myself, and that's like the end of all ends. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do it all to the glory of God." And so all of this that I'm saying is so that God will be honored. Like, we do missions so that God will be honored in those other countries, that he will be glorified. If you have any questions, please come talk to me. I don't have little secret contracts waiting in my back pocket. I just want to answer questions for you and make it as clear as possible for you. So thanks for coming. Enjoy your week on your way home.